This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, and we are presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, making his way around the country on a road trip over there out there in Tucson with the Arizona football team. Michael, how are we doing here on this Monday morning?
It's good to have you back, Femi. I missed you over the weekend. Thank you for Ben Wilson filling in for you on Saturday and Stormy on Sunday. So it's good to have you back. I missed your four-game analysis at one time, but certainly with 2 hours to go today, we can pick it up and see what you're thinking and where you're headed with everything. And, you know, I was disappointed Justin Fields didn't play because I didn't get Twitter Femi out there, but I would have liked to have a little Twitter Femi. But it's all good. Life is good. We're going to move on. We're getting close to this. What are we?
It's less than 3 weeks from the regular season.
Less than 3 weeks, yeah. Here we go. Let's get going.
No, I'll
look. Matty Eumann's on today. I'm excited for that. That's always good.
Oh, yeah. No, well, let's set the table for the show because we have a fun show coming up over the next couple hours. Make sure to tweet at us at VSiN Live on Twitter, at M Lombardi NFL is where you can find Michael, at Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. And coming up 30 minutes from right now, Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. We'll talk to TG about some of these quarterbacks and the impacts that they have on the spread, especially in Tampa, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask. Then at 1:15 Eastern Time, 10:15 Pacific, it'll be Matt Eumanns, like Michael mentioned, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern. Eumanns, very, very sharp when it comes to the NFL, very, very sharp when it comes to college football. We'll talk to him about both. And food and golf and other stuff as well. But we're talking football.
We missed you yesterday. So Thomas Gable did a really interesting segment where he talked about the point spread between if this quarterback went down, what would the next be? And I was really thinking a lot about that at the, you know, and then when I was over at Arizona, then when I came back, the game, watched the game. I mean, Evan Stick now, what is the gap, do you think, between if Justin Herbert gets hurt and the Chargers have to go with Evan Stick? Like, what is this going to be like? I can't wait to ask TG that one. I mean, I think his highest point total was 10. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there watching the game. Could this be two touchdowns?
Was it that bad? I didn't get to see Easton Stick. I was flying back from Seattle to Vegas, so I didn't get to catch that game. But, I mean, it's a big drop-off. Let's put it that way. Then maybe they'll call Chase Daniel. I don't know. I think he's retired now. Maybe they'll get him out of retirement if it ever happened to come out there with Justin Herbert not being able to play. We know Herbert, though, is tough as nails. I mean, the guy played with broken ribs last year. So hopefully there's no situation that keeps him out of playing because we don't want to see Easton Stick play with all due respect to Easton Stick and his family. But no, Michael, before we even get into the football there, obviously I was gone this past weekend hanging out with the family and all that, and I got to see Miss Rachel's work live and in action because my little nephew was, we went to dinner and he had a little bit of a moment, you know, like kids do at dinner, and my brother and my sister-in-law, they put on the Miss Rachel, and all of a sudden, just like, it went away. As if winter chicken dinner.
Yeah, you've never seen anything like it in your life.
It's
unbelievable.
Like, wow.
It's mesmerizing. I mean, it's like I was talking to one of the coaches here at Arizona, and I'm like, "Does your daughter watch Little Rachel?" Oh, we can't let her watch that. It's addicting. It's too much. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, this woman has transformed the power of singing little kids' songs. I mean, my little girl, Sienna, she loves it. I mean, she is fully invested in it. She can sing and dance. So you witnessed it first.
I saw it.
5 million subscribers. I found another one. You know, you go down that YouTube hole now, it's remarkable. I found this guy that cooks in the wilderness out in some far remote place in the Far East, and he builds chimneys. I mean, it's really remarkable. Millie looked at me like when I was watching that, what are you watching? And this guy's got 5 million subscribers as well.
YouTube's a wonderful place, and we encourage everyone to subscribe to the VSiN YouTube page.
Yeah, it's our job too. Yeah,
but the rabbit holes that you can go down. But I know you talked about Miss Rachel quite a bit, and I was like, okay, let's see what this is like. And I saw it live at dinner, and I was like, oh. Okay, this is for real. Like this,
you won't get that song out of your head, Femi. You'll be singing that song, "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round." You'll be singing that all day long. You will not get that out of your head.
Well, the betting market is going round and round, and I wanted to start here with some of the positive things that we've seen in the preseason, because we just taped an episode of the GM Shuffle. We encourage everyone to go ahead and check that out. It'll be out later on this morning or afternoon if you're out there on the East Coast, but subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. A new edition of the GM Shuffle earlier this morning. And we're starting, Michael, to see the betting market react, especially as it pertains to the week one lines, to what we've seen in the preseason. And I want to highlight two teams, the first being the Pittsburgh Steelers, who we've spoken about quite a bit throughout this offseason, about a team that's probably not getting the respect they deserve due to playing in a really difficult division, but is probably on the rise with a young quarterback and a young roster around him and a really established good head coach. And with their week one game against the 49ers, after 2 weeks of really strong performances in the preseason, the Niners are now down to 2.5-point favorites. Some shops still have them at 3, but I'm seeing 2.5 where I'm sitting here at Circa and at a number of other places here in Las Vegas, to where Pittsburgh is starting to draw a little bit of interest as that home underdog in the opening Sunday of the season.
Well, yeah, and well, they should. They're playing well. Their offensive line, Dan Moore, their left tackle, who was not playing well at the beginning of last year. And they drafted Broderick Jones from Georgia to come in and replace him. And Dan Moore from Texas A&M has held his own, and he's now still the starter. He didn't get beat out by the rookie. So that tells you something about his improvement. Their line got better, you know, and Pickett's in his second year. But the second half of the season, we've talked ad nauseum about this, they played really well. They gave up on average of about 13 points if you throw out the 37-30 loss to Cincinnati coming off the bye week. And then from that moment forward, they were good. And they were physical. They were hard to play. They could run the ball. The line got better. But this offseason, I think they've really improved this offseason. They add Patrick Peterson to their secondary, who played well last year. Mm-hmm. They added the guard from Philadelphia to help their offensive line. You know, they've added receiver, you know, and Allen Robinson to help there. The Warren kid, the running back they got as a college free agent who had the 60-yard run, was sensational. And that Najee Harris, we know he's a three-down back. He catches the ball really well. So I like the team. I've liked the team all offseason. I love the coach. I know it's hard. I know the division is hard, but they relish in hard. They relish in hard work, and I think they are, and you could see their execution this summer. I mean, I thought the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game was, if you have a chance and you have an NFL Plus, watch the game. It was a really good game to watch because both teams were trying.
Yeah.
Both teams were playing their level. You know, I would not say they played all out. It wasn't 100%, 100%. It wasn't a regular season speed, but they were playing, and Pittsburgh held their own.
Yeah, they more than held their own. They were out there flying, like, with their hair on fire. Like, it was jarring to see how they looked out there. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I know this team, we've been optimistic about them, but they really popped in that game this past Saturday. And you don't want to get too carried away. We're not saying that Pittsburgh, like, throw your money on them to win the division, to win the AFC, and to win the Super Bowl. But just maybe take another look at them, because that's what I've done throughout this offseason. Each time I look at this Steelers team, I'm like, gosh, there's not a whole lot to dislike. And in fact, there's a lot I actually do like. But I keep coming back to the division and their opponents in that division, that I like them as well. So that's why I haven't really placed any season-long wagers on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if there's a team that's to surprise or upset the apple cart, whether it's like not the Ravens or it's not the Bengals, it's probably the Pittsburgh Steelers there in the AFC North, given the way they ended last season and how they've looked so far throughout training camp and throughout the preseason.
And how tough they are. I wrote a column for VSiN a couple weeks ago, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. I don't know. I lose track. But you know, the reason nobody loves Pittsburgh is because they don't appeal to the Twitter universe. They're not sexy. You know, Pickett's just efficient. Their offense is quote-unquote boring. They run the ball. They don't throw it enough. You know, they don't do anything really dynamic offensively. They're just boring. And boring wins. They play three phases really well. They play to the strength of their team, which is their defense. They understand how to win. They win close games. They do everything that you have to do, except it doesn't sell. Nobody falls into it. No matter how many times you tell people, look how good they played at the end of the year on defense. They went into Carolina and killed Carolina. Detroit went to Carolina and couldn't play Carolina. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, you just have to keep it in perspective. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No, but I think they're a team that, what we said a while ago, we're looking for trends. We're looking for indicators.
Yeah.
And their summer this year, their indications are they're going to be a good team. Don't be fooled by it. I'm surprised the line hasn't come to 2.5 all across the board.
Yeah. Oh, it'll get there. I think it'll get there just based on what we've seen so far, because at some of these market-making sports books, we're seeing 2.5. Consensus is still 3, but it's juiced. Like, you got to pay a little bit extra if you want to get +3 with Pittsburgh. It's -115 or -120. My guess is that we do get to where it closes 2.5 by the time we get to kickoff there. But also, to put it in perspective with the Steelers, they won 9 games last year, and T.J. Watt, I think, missed, 7 games with that pec injury? And he's one of the best defenders in all of football, a former defensive player of the year. Like, this is a really, really good team, and they're really well coached.
And Highsmith's good. We talked about that when we did the blue-chip defensive rushers, right? He's a good rusher. You know, and they've been trying to replace Ryan Shazier since he was injured in Cincinnati, and he's never played football again. They've lost that speed. Now, I'm not saying Landon Roberts is that guy, or Cole Holcomb, who they signed this offseason, is that guy. But they have understood that. It wasn't Miles Jack, who has since retired, you know. And they've kind of tried to find it. Wasn't Devin Bush. It wasn't. They're looking for that. But they're well coached. They know who they are offensively. They know who they are defensively. And they're going to play. You got to come in there and punch him in the mouth. You know, and they're not going to turn the ball over, because that's what Pickett didn't do in the second half of the season. He protected the football.
Yeah, he started to learn a little bit more. I think that Miami game, they were turning the ball over a little bit, and there was some loosey-goosey stuff early in the season last year. But now, at the end of last year, now they're in 2023, and it feels like they're protecting the football a little bit better. Obviously, this is still the preseason. We're not saying to hang the banner, but we're liking what we're seeing from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the betting market's liking what they're seeing as well. Once again, the Steelers now 2.5-point favorites here at Circa and at other sportsbooks in Las Vegas. It's still 3 for the consensus, but I'm not sure if that 3 is going to hang around much longer. So if you like Pittsburgh, maybe you gobble that up right now. But the Steelers aren't the only team, Michael, that has looked good in this preseason. There's another team in the NFC that the Week 1 betting markets are reacting to in a positive way. We'll get into that and more on the other side. We're rolling along here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata, will be joining us in 15 minutes as we will go deeper into some of the quarterback movement and how the line could change based on which quarterback is in the starting lineup. We'll discuss that with TG and do that exercise 15 minutes from now, Michael. But let's continue, though, with some of the teams in the preseason that have played well and the market has responded. Last segment, we talked about how the market is starting to bet Pittsburgh in that Week 1 home opener against the 49ers. Well, another team that is seeing some action here, because we've seen line movement now, is in the afternoon slated game, the Green Bay Packers against the Chicago Bears. Where I'm sitting here at Circa, Michael, the line is now down to 1.5. And this comes after we've seen a couple solid performances from Jordan Love behind center there in his first year as the established starter for the Packers. Do you agree with that line movement based on what you've seen from Green Bay?
You know, I do, because I think Green Bay is good on defense, right? I think Green Bay can rush the passer. I think Green Bay's athletic on defense. Look, they've got great skilled players in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dunn. They can run the football on pretty much anybody. I think these young receivers we saw the other night against the Patriots, these young receivers, Christian Watson, Dobbs made 2 great plays in the game. I think this is a good team. I really do. And there's a lot of question marks about the Bears, not just that relate to Justin Fields. It relates to is their offensive line going to be good enough? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be good enough on defense? You know, the Packers haven't played with Kenny Clark. Devon Campbell hasn't been on the field, but Jai Alexander hasn't played. But they're really, to me, they're really coming along. And defensively, I mean, Kingsley Egbuchar, I mean, this kid was sensational. I mean, he had two sacks the other night against the Packers. He can power the tackle back. He plays the run really well. And we're not even talking about Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
So this is a good team. I don't think you can underestimate this team. I think this is a good team. And there's a lot of question marks more about the Bears in different areas other than the quarterback throwing the football than there are the Packers.
And we've seen execution from the Packers. That's one thing that you have harped on a lot. Like preseason, you're not necessarily looking at the scoreboard. You're more so looking at the execution. And Green Bay, while winning these games, has executed along the way to where you could see how the betting market would say, okay, maybe we have been underrating this team and maybe we should think highly of them and actually bet them in this week one contest.
Yeah, I mean, look, week one's a hard handicap, right? There's so many unknowns. One of the things in betting that I've learned over 5 years working here at VSiN is that you try to eliminate the unknowns. You try to figure out what, you know, stick with what you know, not what you think. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're going to be motivated this week. Well, you don't know that. You're not in their locker room. So don't use that. Stick with what you know. And we know the Packers, the last five games of the season, were good on defense. And that's not counting some of the additions that they've made. And we know that they held Detroit to 34 points in two games. We know that they can run the football. We know that the Bears have added to their defense, but the Bears' defense isn't elite yet. So there's a lot to like about Green Bay in this game. Now, playing on the road, playing in Chicago, never easy a place to play. Opening games are hard. But to me, you know, when you're with the point spread the way it's moving, I get it.
On the other side of this coin, we've been talking positive about the Pittsburgh Steelers, about the Green Bay Packers. And this is maybe not necessarily negative, but it's more so fading and going with a trend here. And that's Anthony Richardson as a rookie quarterback starting week one. We've seen that line go from Jacksonville, 3.5-point favorites. The consensus number is 4, but where I'm sitting at Circa, it's now 4.5. And some other spots have 4.5 here where the betting market's looking to kind of fade a guy making his first start as a rookie at home against a division rival.
Well, look, the advantage he has is he's going to be in a very simplistic offense. And I say that with all due respect to the Indianapolis offense. The Eagle offense is simplistic, but they execute. And they've got great skill. And so when you have great skill and you have great players, you don't need to be complicated. The great Dan Henning, the former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons and Chargers and offensive coordinator under Joe Gibbs at the Washington football team, you know, used to say all the time, if you don't have tendencies, you can't be any good, right? And so Philly has tendencies, but they're good. Indy's going to run that offense. Now, they're going to need to be able to who's going to be their playmaker? Who's their A.J. Brown? They don't really have one. Is it Alec Pierce? I doubt it. But the game shouldn't be too big for Richardson. They'll be inconsistent. What I wrote about a couple of weeks ago is I just think, to me, the level of defense that they're going to have to maintain through the course of the season will be challenging. And they'll wear down. And I think they're going to be a 50-minute team. I think the Colts will play a lot of games close up until 50-minute mark in the game in the fourth quarter, and the opponents and team will take over. And I think that's why the line's moving. I really do. I think that's why the line is moving, because I think everybody expects their lack of skill to wear itself down once the game becomes an adjustment game. Remember, football is about adjustments, right? Mm-hmm. The opening game is hard because you don't know what they're really going to do and how you have to adjust it. That's how you get upsets in the National Football League in opening weekend, is because of the unknown.
Yeah, and maybe that, with that line saying that they're going to be a 50-minute team, maybe you play some Colts first halves. Maybe especially if they're a big underdog going a little bit later on in the season, maybe in the first half that they can at least surprise some teams there and keep things close before it gets away from them a little bit later on in the third and the fourth quarter. That could be one.
I don't want to play this game. I think
that's also an option as well.
I think one of the things you and this to me is my betting tip of the day. Elliot can put it in the last block, but I think it's really the preseason is about eliminating some teams to play. And I don't want to play the Colts opening weekend. I'm not touching that game. I don't care what the line movement is. I don't care what the sharps say, or you know what the line says, or what the guy in his pajamas in Des Moines thinks. Like I've seen enough of Indy, and I've seen enough to know that I don't want to. And I've seen enough of the unpredictability between Indy and Jacksonville in opening weekends to stay away from it.
Yeah, I'm like with you. Like, I'm not going to play this game. The number that I would need to play this game is never going to come up unless there's like a massive injury to like the entire offensive line or something like that. So I don't foresee myself betting on this game. And with that said, I don't think I'd ever want to lay the points either with Jacksonville, just because division games, road favorites, weird stuff happens in week one, like you mentioned, with the uncertainty. So I think this is one that you perfectly just go ahead and pass, and you move on to the next one. But speaking of rookie quarterbacks and guys making their first starts here, Sam Howell, the Washington Commanders, not a rookie, played one game last year, it was week 18 against Dallas, but now he is the official QB1 for the Washington Commanders. They play the Baltimore Ravens tonight to wrap up week two of the preseason. Michael, the Ravens are riding a 24-game win streak in the preseason. Right now, they are 1.5-point favorites is the consensus number. I'm seeing some twos populating the market. Can the Ravens make it 25 straight victories over there in Landover, Maryland?
Well, I think this is a big moment for Washington. Look, they're playing Monday night. The last preseason games are Friday. So this is the last warm-up. And they gotta get their offense going, right? They've got to show that they can move the football. They've got continuity. They've got a new offensive line that they've got to show can come together and play really well. I'm anxious to watch them tonight. I really am. Because here's what I do know from watching the preseason tape. Arizona isn't very good. But Arizona plays hard. Arizona has the players have bought into Jonathan Gannon, yeah, and they're playing hard. And they're not great, you know, and they're blitzing, they're doing a lot of things. They're trying their tails off to show that they belong in the National Football League. So if you think Washington's just gonna easily come in and operate at 70% and beat a bad Cardinal team, I think you're wrong. I think the Cardinals will play them. I'm not saying they're gonna win, but I think the Cardinals will play them tougher. And I need to really see tonight what Washington's offensive looks like. They were trying to run the Patrick Mahomes offense last week, where they were using, whether it's Logan Thomas, whether it's Cole Turner, whether it's John Bates, as the motion guy to come back in as the tight end. And this line's got to block really well, because Samuels, Dotson, and McLaurin, they're all good players. They all can make plays in the passing game. They've got to be able to protect up front. That's been the concern. They signed Andrew Wiley this offseason to be the right tackle. You know, they still have Leno at left tackle, who was a liability for him last year. So they've got to play well.
Anything that you're looking forward to seeing on the Baltimore side of it? I mean, 25 or 24 straight preseason games, that's pretty impressive as a short favorite really right now.
Yeah.
But anything that you think would jump out for you on Baltimore side?
Well, Baltimore's going to play a lot of zone tonight. I don't think they can get into a man-to-man game. I think their corner situation is not good. They signed Darby to bring him in there. We won't see Clowney. I think some of the young players, I think their backup offensive line, how they look, you know, what they're going to do. And to me, Baltimore is just about studying what they run, what their run game is going to look like. I doubt they'll play J.K. Dobbins tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be a bunch of backups. But the one thing about Baltimore, they'll play hard. They play hard and they play intently.
Yeah. Monday Night Football. Feels good to say that. We'll have it coming up later on this evening. Josh Johnson expected to start for the Ravens. No Lamar Jackson, no Tyler Huntley behind center. All right, on the other side, Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, will join us as we continue to discuss the National Football League here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walter sat down with Brent Musburger for an exclusive interview, and the only place to see it is here on VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL, shares some unbelievable betting stories, and gives the details on Phil Mickelson's gambling, including trying to bet on an event that he was playing in. Check out the interview tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on VSiN, the sports betting network. We're rolling along here on the Lombardi Line on a Monday morning. Michael Lombardi out in Tucson, Arizona. Femi Abebefe hanging out in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now, it's our buddy Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well. Hope the weekend was good. And we were having this discussion a little bit during the break and wanted to bring it to you here just so our viewers can get this information, is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the only team right now that kind of has this quarterback competition. I know Houston hasn't named a starter, but we all believe it's going to be C.J. Stroud. But in Tampa, Todd Bowles says that there is no timetable on when he will name a starter. Whether it's Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask, do you see that the market, especially as it pertains to week one, would that change regardless who's playing the QB right now, Bucks 6.5-point dogs against the Vikings?
I think it would change slightly. I think this number assumes that it's going to be Mayfield, honestly. So let me ask you, what do you think the difference is there in the number between Mayfield and Trask for both of you?
I don't think there is a difference. The way Mayfield played last year, I can't imagine that it is a difference. I mean, Matt Rhule's sitting in Lincoln, Nebraska, because Mayfield couldn't complete an out. I mean, he didn't play well at all last year. Other than the 2-minute drill with the Rams, I mean, against the Raiders, that was it. I don't know. I mean, can Trask play? It's like Sam Howell. Can he play any worse than Carson Wentz played last year? I doubt it. I don't think Trask can play any worse than Mayfield. I mean, I know there's not a lot of evidence to support that conclusion, but I'm going to go on the limb and say I maybe 1 point at the most.
Yeah.
Ben, you're in agreement at 1 point.
I don't think
he's got four games to watch, so let's get to see what he does here. Let's go.
I don't think you would go from 6.5 to 7.5 just because of what those numbers mean in the betting space, but I think it would get to 7. Definitely. I think it'd go to 7 just because the betting market's fading a guy that they haven't seen. And usually the market's pretty skeptical if they've never seen you play.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think there's a ton of difference in the number there. Maybe a half a point to a point. Mayfield, you know, of all the starters, and we'll say, okay, let's just say, assume Mayfield is the starter here. All the starters in the NFL for every team. I mean, he's certainly, leaving aside the rookie quarterbacks, who we don't have anything on, as Stroud and Richardson and Bryce Young, he's by far one of the lowest rated in the league. You know, I have him very similar to a little bit above Ritter and Colt McCoy for me. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly on the lower end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Last night, I'm watching this Charger game. Okay, I'm sitting here and I'm watching the Chargers, and I'm watching two backup quarterbacks. Winston, obviously, you know, plays pretty well for them, leads them on some scoring drives. But then I'm watching the Chargers, and I'm watching Easton Stick, and I'm saying, okay, Herbert's a blue chip player. What would the difference between Herbert and if they had to go to Easton Stick as the starter, how would you justify that in a power ranking element?
So this is one of the biggest ones I think that exists in the league between Herbert and Stick. And, you know, Herbert, I have, you know, full disclosure, I have him rated as high as I possibly can. It's him, Mahomes, and again, these are all assuming that everyone is fully healthy. Joe Burrow, those three I have rated at my highest rating for a quarterback. But there's a big, big chasm there between QB1 and QB2 in LA. So right now I put a 9.5, close to 10-point difference if you take Herbert out to go on the Stick.
Yeah, I thought it might be more than that. I mean, in the power ranking, we're not talking about the line here, so we make it clear for the people listening at home. We're talking about if your team's power ranked 150 and you lose your quarterback, you're now 140 if you're the Chargers, right? Is that what we're saying, right, TG?
Yeah.
We're speaking with Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. I don't know if you guys did this team earlier from the weekend here, but what about, because the Niner fans want to know, what about San Francisco? Brock Purdy right now is the established starter, but if he couldn't play, what's the difference between Purdy and Sam Darnold? And if Darnold couldn't play, what's the difference between Darnold to Trey Lance?
Well, see, this is an interesting one because there's not a ton of difference between 1 through 3, at least for my ratings. Purdy, I do have rated the highest of the three, but I think you really only lose maybe a point and a half there between 1 and 2, and then maybe another half a point going down to 3. Purdy, again, you know, we'll see. Can he have another year like he did last year? Maybe he needs to be bumped up a little bit in my ratings. And that's the good thing about these ratings. You're constantly adjusting based on what you're seeing and the more data you collect. Again, when you take a look at these, it's really, when we do this exercise, it's the difference between QB1 and QB2. It's not necessarily just what QB1 is rated.
Yeah, and how it all blends together, right? I mean, I think to me, you know, like the Niners proved last year that they won with Garoppolo. You know, they struggled without a quarterback named Garoppolo, but now they've won with Purdy. Can their defense carry them as far as they need to go? I mean, that remains to be seen, but I think your logic is right, TJ. I wouldn't argue with that. Even though I'm not a big fan of Darnold or Lance, I couldn't argue with you.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say for the Niners, I hate to say it's easy as plug and play with the quarterback because of all of the weapons and the tools that they have at their disposal on that team. It's such a great team front to back, taking the quarterback position aside. So it's kind of like no matter who you put in there, you're pretty much going to have the same team. You know, Purdy, though, I think there is a little bit of a bump up there between Purdy and Darnold and Lance, though.
Yeah, the one thing I would say, though, too, I think we get lost a little bit in this, is there has been, other than Garoppolo and Purdy, every time they try to use that plug-and-play methodology, whether it's C.J. Beathard, whether it's Nick Mull, it hasn't really worked out. They've struggled. But Purdy has been, other than Garoppolo, the only guy that really comes in because of his accuracy and his rhythm fit into the offense.
That is a good point. That is a good point because – when you look at, as you said, Bedard or whoever from the past, you're absolutely right. I think Purdy's rhythm is it flows much better.
Well, let's get to maybe perhaps the strongest quarterback room in all of football. That might be the Baltimore Ravens with two Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Not one, they have two of them, according to last season at least. The Ravens are hoping to keep their preseason win streak alive. 24 straight victories in the preseason. Tonight they take on the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football. And initially it looks like the market was interested in the Commanders, but it looks like, TG, we're seeing some late buyback here on Baltimore the closer we get to kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders, I think yesterday, this got down to pick them in some spots. Now, Ravens back to a point and a half favorites. But still, it's been a significant move from the opener. But, you know, at least here, we're seeing more Ravens money come in. Again, do you really want to I'm sure there's going to be some people who take the shot on the Commanders money line and say the streak is going to end tonight. But we'll see. I mean, but when you're looking at the Ravens, you're not going to see Jackson or Huntley out there. So it's going to be Josh Johnson. And, you know, for Washington, it's probably going to be Brissett and Fromm for the most part. I don't know if you're going to see any of Sam Howell, maybe a series from Howell. But it's pretty much going to be Brissett and Fromm there for the Commanders tonight.
TG, we talk quickly. We got about a minute to go. We talk quickly about how Pittsburgh has the line in Pittsburgh, San Francisco, has gone from 3 to 2.5. Is that the same way with you?
We're still at 3 in that game for week one. You know, Pittsburgh is picking up some steam, though, and based on how they've looked. And, you know, Pittsburgh's a popular team here always with in terms of their future. So we have liability already that exists on them to win the Super Bowl and to win the AFC. They're always a popular play here, no matter what. So we're still sitting at 3, though, for week one on the Steelers.
Real quick, TG, we got about 30 seconds left. What about in the Green Bay Chicago game? Because where I'm sitting at Circa, they've gone to 1.5 with the Bears being the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, so you are seeing some 1.5s there, some twos, but you know, it's right now that game, we're taking some decent Packers money in that one.
Yeah, I could see it.
Optimism about Green Bay. Jordan Love, back-to-back solid performances in the preseason. He is Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well. We appreciate the time this morning, man.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, TG.
From TG. All right, yeah, the 49ers, no, the point that you bring up about Purdy and Garoppolo, those have been the only guys that have gotten it done
only
so
one.
Far. But we'll see.
Everybody
maybe
thinks
Donald
it's just
chance.
Plug and play, right? Everybody thinks it's just everybody. No, Hoyer couldn't play good. You know, none of them played. They didn't win games until Garoppolo. Look at Kyle's record without Garoppolo and without Purdy.
Not good. It isn't good. All right, we'll talk about some high-scoring offenses on the other side and the market that you can bet into here on the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in most states. We thank Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata, for joining us in the last segment. If you missed it, make sure you check it out in podcast form. This is a Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi out in Arizona. Femi Ebbefe hanging out here in Las Vegas. Michael, speaking of Arizona, I saw over on the AP All-American college football team, since it's that kind of season, the preseason All-American teams, Arizona's got a pretty good wide receiver, according to this list. Jacob Cowing made the second team wide receiver for the All-America list. They're excited about him over there in Tucson?
Well, they've got a dynamic receiving core. They've got a dynamic quarterback in Jade DeLaura. The Cowling is a transfer from UTEP who's from Tucson. He's been sensational. T-Mac, who they call him, is a second-year player from Los Angeles, from Southern California. It was a four-star kid coming out of college. But I watched him work out. Yesterday, he was sensational. I mean, they can move the football. They've got good running backs. Michael Wiley, their starting running back, has really developed. He's going to be a pro prospect. They've got a lot of pro prospects on the offensive team. They're going to need to get their defense back. They're going to need to play complementary defense to their team. But remember, they went into UCLA and beat UCLA last year. They've struggled against the more physical teams of the Pac-12, the Washington States, the Utah. But they can move the football. They've got a good scheme. They've got a lot of good skill players.
Yeah, I think that Pac-12 would be a lot of offense in that conference.
There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean,
it's a shame that it's kind of gone away, you know, with Cam Rising coming off the knee. But there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, it's just not Caleb Johnson. You know, you've got Michael Penix Jr. up there at Washington. Those two guys are going to compete for the Heisman. And DeLaura is really good. Cam Ward up at Washington State's a good player, too.
Yeah, Bo Nix at Oregon.
There you go.
You got Big DJ. Maybe he can be rebuilt.
Well, maybe DJ can be the kind of the Bo Nix too, because I had no hope for Bo Nix when he was playing for Gussie at Auburn. I didn't think that was going to work, but it looks a lot better with Dan Lanning at Oregon.
Yeah, no, the Pac-12. Like, it's sad that like conference realignment's been the number one headline for the Pac-12, because it should be the quarterbacks and the excitement of all these guys returning for their final seasons, we presume, and like that makes these teams really interesting to watch. And I think there's gonna be some fun games late night over here on the West Coast, and maybe the conference will go out with a bang. I guess. Speaking of which, the University of Washington's athletic director Jennifer Cohen's now set to be the USC athletic director. So add that to your Pac-12/Big Ten pipe and smoke it, huh?
Wow, that's unbelievable. Jennifer's done a great job at Washington. That was a great hire for Kalen DeBoer, that she hired him after the Chris Peterson and then Lake problems, you know, when they had that transition there for just 1 year. So, look, that's an interesting hire for USC. It's a big job for her. She'll do a good job down there.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Like Jennifer Cohen, like I've had interactions with her just from covering the program when I was working in Seattle. She was always tremendous in that regard. But, yeah, this is the constant movement with college athletics, and we'll talk to Matt Eumanns about it coming up in hour number two in about 30 minutes from now. But just – kind of the Pac-12 conference, and maybe we'll ask him about Bear Down Arizona, what he thinks about that team, other than with Jed Fish and Jaden DeLaura out in Tucson. But Michael, let's talk some more NFL here, because BetMGM has a market about the highest and lowest scoring teams this season. So this is an index market, meaning it's a futures market, and you can bet on one team to go ahead and be the most regular season points scored. You can bet on multiple teams, but just, you know, it's a kind of like a futures market. That's how it operates. But the favorite in this market for the most regular season points scored, courtesy of BetMGM, is the Kansas City Chiefs at +450. Eagles are at 6-1. Bengals +750. Bills 9-1. Cowboys 12-1. Lions Niners are at 14-1. Chargers 16-1. Jags Vikings 18-1. Dolphins Jets Seahawks 20-1. Ravens 25-1. Any interest for you?
Well, I mean, obviously Philly has interest because they can score, and Philly has this mentality to score quickly. 207 points in the second quarter. You know, to me, that's something that they don't stop. Their 4-minute offense isn't to protect the football. Their 4 minutes offense lends itself to scoring. And the same thing with the Lions, I think, too, at 14-1, because the Lions, I think what you want to do if you're playing this market is you want a team that is good, is great offensively, but has to keep scoring because their defense isn't great, right? You know, they got to keep it going like that, you know, and I think that's the Lions, right? The 49ers, when they go up by 10 in the fourth quarter, I don't think you're beating them.
No.
I think they're going to close that game out. So I think you got to be really careful here about, you know, the one thing about the Chiefs, you can get back in the game. Remember the Denver game last year where what they go up 21 to nothing and all of a sudden the Broncos come storming back. There's moments where there's laxity within the Chiefs off defense, which creates then the Chiefs have to score more points. So I know this sounds counterintuitive, but you want to play a team that's really good offensively, that's very marginal defensively. And that, to me, is the Lions. The Eagles are not marginally defensively. They just keep trying to score. They just keep trying to score. You know, whereas like the Jaguars at 18-1, they're going to keep scoring. I don't know how great their defense is.
That's the one that stood out to me was Jacksonville at 18-1 because and I think Jacksonville and Detroit are in the same category of teams that offensively there's a lot to like and to be excited about, but defensively there are major question marks. So they're going to need to continue to score, and also Jacksonville, and you can argue this for Detroit as well, the divisions aren't as difficult. So maybe you can put up a lot of points there in some of these shootout kind of performances. Those would be the teams that I would bet on. If somebody said, hey, here's $100, I'd take it and put on Jacksonville at 18-1 to go ahead and lead the league in points scored. Because I think that they might have to if they want to fulfill some of those expectations of winning 10, 11 games and winning the AFC South once again. So Jacksonville is who I like. I mean, I could see the argument for Philadelphia definitely because the Eagles are just so overwhelming with that offensive line. It feels like they're in advantageous situations all the times, but I think Jacksonville is where I'd go just from a value standpoint. And I guess value is an overused word. I don't even want to use that word. I retract value. But just from a long shot standpoint, 18-1.
Like Dallas at 12-1. I think Dallas wants to slow the game down a little bit.
Yep.
I think their defense is too good. And if they get up by 10 in the fourth quarter, I don't think Dallas is going to be explosive offensively. I think they're going to try to get into their 2 minute. You know, same thing with Miami. I mean, I'm telling you, if Miami has a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and the guru, the run game guru, Mike McDaniels, is throwing it around the lot, you know, Vic's going to come down and have a confrontation with them. I mean, there's just no doubt. I'm predicting that right now here on August 21st. I mean, they're going to be blood spilled. There's no way he's going to tolerate that. They're going to either get the gear or they're going to get out, you know?
Yeah, is it going to be like, what, Kevin McBride and Buddy Ryan back in the day on the sidelines when they were getting after it for the Houston Oilers coaching
side? Well, I mean, look, one thing about Vic understands how to win a game, you know, and you can't win a game. There's times you've got to take the air out of the ball a little bit and slow the game down, you know, and understand how to do that. Not run, run, run. It's slow the game down.
How about the fewest regular season points scored this upcoming season? The Cardinals are the favorites at plus 650. Buccaneers 9-1. Packers, Texans, Colts, Titans at 11-1. Commanders 12-1. Panthers and Rams and the Patriots are at 14-1. Steelers 18-1. Falcons, Bears, Browns at 20-1.
I don't know how the Cardinals are going to score. I really don't. I mean, they don't have a big playmaker. I mean, James Conner can still run the ball. He looked good the other night running. But can they score? And here's the thing. They're going to get behind, so they will score a little bit more because if they have to play catch-up, you know what happens then. But to me, I don't know where they're going. I think the Bucs are going to be in a lot of close games because their defense is going to have to keep them in close games. I don't see it with the Packers. You know, that's just because I think everybody's unsure about the quarterback.
Yep.
The Packers, the Texans, the Colts, and the Titans. You know, the Titans, who's going to play quarterback for them? Tannehill is, for sure. And they slow the game down enough to where they don't mind winning 17-14. So I like the Cardinals here. You know, on a long shot, you know, I don't see, you know, maybe you'd say the Panthers just based on the way they've played this summer.
Yeah, the offensive line for the Panthers makes that 14-1 look a little juicy. For me, though, I think I'd take a shot with the Rams. If things start slow and they go off the rails and Stafford gets beat up and is not able to play in games, maybe they get to the trade deadline and say, all right, guys, let's just pack up shop. This is not our year. Let's start the rebuild in full. Maybe the Rams are kind of like a dark horse team at 14-1 to have the fewest regular season. I know McVay is a great offensive mind, and I don't want to disrespect him, but the Rams are intriguing.
I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, look, if Stafford gets hurt and they're to Stetson Bennett, they're not going to score a lot of points. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yeah. You weren't impressed with Stetson Bennett the other night?
Well, it's not that I'm not impressed. I don't want to judge him too early, but it's going to be hard for him to come in there behind a bad offensive line. And if Cooper Kupp, I mean, Kupp had the great year 2 years ago, but all the other years, Kupp's been about 10 yards a catch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that 1 year sticks out to you because it was an anomaly. But is he going to put the ball in the end zone like he did that year? That was the one sensational year.
Yeah, I have my doubts about that Rams offense. Step into my office coming up next to start hour number 2.